Chapter 14. Lexi settled into the recliner in Nan's living room, savoring the bitter taste of the strong coffee in the mug she held in her hand. She needed the caffeine to get her through the rest of the day. Keeping up with Nan's was exhausting.
So, did you uncover any new clues?
Helen stood next to the whiteboard, which was directly in front of Lexi.
Yes, and we knocked off some items from our to-do list,
Ida answered from a chair on the other side of the room.
You tell us what you found first, and then I'll tell you what I found.
Ruth pulled the dining room chair over next to Lexi, setting her iPad and a cup of tea on the side table.
Well, we went to the museum first thing. They have some great displays there. We really should go sometime, Nan said.
That's nice. Helen shot Nan a sarcastic look. But did you find anything relevant to the case?
I'm getting to that.
Nan walked over to the whiteboard and pointed at one of the lines.
We talked to Stuart Wiggins' friend at the museum. Eddie something his name was. He seemed unusually nervous, didn't he, Lexi?
Yes. And he said Veronica and Ramona were acting strange. Helen's brows shot up.
Oh, really? Do you think they were up to something?
Hard to say, Nan said. But let's write that down on the board.
Helen turned and scribbled on the board.
Should we put this Eddie under suspect? What about Veronica and Ramona?
Nan's pressed her lips together.
I think so. We might as well list everyone who acts strange, and then we'll work on weeding through the list to see who had motive and opportunity. Of course, we still don't know what the motive is,
Ida mumbled around a mouthful of cream cheese brownie.
I might have a line on that, Ruth said.
Everyone turned to look at her.
I was able to get into Philippe's bank account, and it seems he had a very large deposit a few months ago.
How large?
Nance asked.
$50,000.
Ida whistled.
That sounds like a lot. But with a business like his, maybe that's not so unusual.
That's the thing, Ruth said. It wasn't in his business account. It was in his personal account. He normally didn't have deposits anywhere near that high.
Lexi chewed her bottom lip.
I wonder if that has anything to do with what my mom said about his business being in trouble, or the break-in at Chez Philippe. Yeah, maybe he needed money to save his business, so he did something underhanded that paid good, and someone broke in to steal the money,
Ida said.
Yeah, but what would he have done for 50 thou?
Nance asked.
Ida shrugged. Who knows? I saw an episode of Castle where the guy got laid off from his job and needed money, so he ended up being a drug mule.
Well, I highly doubt Philippe would do that. And even if he was up to something, how do Stuart, Victoria, Ramona, and Eddie play into it?
Ruth asked.
And don't forget Millie, Ida added.
Millie?
Helen's brows creased.
Ida nodded. At lunch today, we saw someone skulking around inside Chez Philippe. So we went in to apprehend the perp. It was this Millie lady, is seamstress, I guess, right, Lexi?
Yep. Lexi sipped her coffee. She said the police told her she could go in and finish the gowns they had on order. She did seem rather nervous. And not at all friendly. Ruth tapped the marker on the whiteboard.
If Philippe was into something shady, it makes sense that Millie might know about it.
She's been his seamstress for a long time,
So she might be protective of him, too, Lexi added.
Or in on it with him, Ida said.
It doesn't make sense that Veronica and Stuart would have anything to do with it, though, Ruth said.
Lexi sighed. Right, this is all so confusing.
Well, at least we have more of a clue about the motive. If we could just figure out where that money came from.
Nance turned to Ruth. Can you dig around to find the source?
Ruth nodded. I can try.
And we also need to talk to this Ramona. She's the only one on the list we haven't talked to.
Lexi cringed. I don't know how we're going to do that. She hates me.
Ida snapped her fingers.
I know.
You do? Lexi asked.
She was Veronica's best friend, right?
Lexi nodded.
Well, then, it makes sense she would be at the wake,
Ida said with a gleam in her eye.
That's right, Nan said. We need to find out when the wake is and attend it. You know what we always say.
Lexi, Ida, Ruth, and Helen chorused the answer. The best place to find out about the murder is at the victim's wake. Lexi coasted to a stop in front of her house. Quietly closing her car door, she tiptoed past the RV. She wasn't avoiding her parents. She just needed some quiet time to think about the day's events and tend to some of the wedding tasks she'd been putting off in favor of investigating the murders. She still had a lot to get done, like picking out the flowers for her bouquet, choosing the appetizers for the reception, and deciding which music to use for the ceremony. Was her wedding really in a few days? She pushed away the panic that clutched at her chest as she slid her key into the lock on the front door. Her heart stopped when the door swung wide open before the key even made it all the way in. She stood frozen in the doorway, her stomach sinking. Her house had been ransacked. Drawers had been flung open. Everything had been ripped from the closet and thrown on the floor. Even the cushions had been torn from the couch. Tears welled up in her eyes, and then fear seized her. Where was Sprinkles?
Sprinkles!
She ran into the house, praying the little white dog would come bounding out from one of the rooms. She barely noticed the kitchen was in a shambles as she ran upstairs, stopping short at the door to her bedroom, which was a mess of piled-up clothes. Her dresser drawers had been thrown on the floor and everything removed from her closet. What the heck were they looking for? And what had they done with Sprinkles? Lexi remembered her mother had taken Sprinkles to the RV the day before. Maybe she was in there now. She ran back down the stairs, praying that whoever had done this hadn't also gotten into the RV and done something even worse to her parents. She bolted out into the yard and over to the RV. Ripping open the door, she sprinted into the RV, much to the surprise of her mother, who stood in the kitchen, cutting up a tomato.
Lexi, what in the world are you doing?
Sprinkles jumped off the couch, yapping happily, and Lexi burst into tears as she bent down, scooped up the dog, and covered her with kisses.
What's the matter?
Her father's concern made her cry even more.
Someone broke into my house, she sputtered.
Vera gasped.
What? Are you okay?
Lexi nodded, accepting the tissue her father handed her.
Did they take anything?
Roy asked.
I don't know. I didn't look around very good. I was worried about Sprinkles and you guys.
Lexi blew her nose on the tissue.
Did you see anyone here today?
Vera and Roy looked at each other.
No, but we were gone most of the day in the RV.
Lexi whipped out her cell phone.
I have to call Jack.
Vera rubbed Lexi's back and made soothing noises as she put in the call. Jack was at work, but said he'd drop everything and rush over.
"Don't go back in the house," he warned.
Lexi waited for him on the steps of the RV with her mom and dad. As soon as he stepped out of the car, Lexi flew into his arms, tears pricking her eyes. Jack made the appropriate hugging and patting motions, and Lexi disentangled herself after a few seconds, feeling a little embarrassed. She was usually much stronger than this. She barely even flinched now when she stumbled across a dead body. But for some reason, this break-in at her house really bothered her. This was personal. Jack held both her hands, his liquid brown eyes full of concern.
"Are you okay to go back in there?"
"Yeah, I'm okay. Now that you're here."
Jack led her inside with her parents and Sprinkles following close behind.
"Wow, they really did mess the place up."
"You can say that again,"
Vera said from behind Lexi. The four of them stood there surveying the damage while Sprinkles ran around sniffing everything.
"Too bad Sprinkles can't talk. She probably knows exactly who did this,"
Roy said.
"And what they were after,"
Jack added, then turned to Lexi.
"Is anything missing?"
"I don't know. It's hard to tell with all this mess."
She didn't really have anything valuable, just a few antique vases that Nans had given her. But they were in their usual place on the mantel. It looked like everything was still there, just messed up.
"I don't think anything is missing," she said.
Jack was still holding her hand, and he tugged her forward.
"Let's go room by room, and you can tell me if you notice anything before Davies comes."
Lexi's heart lurched.
"Davies?"
"Sorry, sweetie, I had to tell her. This could be related to the murders."
Jack pushed a lock of hair behind Lexi's ear.
"Besides, she's not so bad once you get to know her."
Lexi made a face. She doubted that.
"Murders?"
Vera asked. Lexi cringed. The cat was out of the bag.
"You remember, Mom, the dress designer, Philippe?
He was designing my dress." Lexi waved her hand dismissively, as if it was nothing to worry about.
"Why would that have something to do with this?"
Vera frowned at the messy room.
"Oh, it doesn't, but the detective in charge is a little, overzealous. And since he was designing my dress..."
Lexi let her voice trail off, hoping the lame excuse satisfied her mother's curiosity. As if on cue, a car screeched to a stop in front of the house. Turning to look through the large living room window, she saw Davies jump out of a dark sedan with flashing blue and red lights on top.
"Great," Lexi muttered. "Now the whole neighborhood will know."
Davies appeared in the doorway, wearing her all-black outfit again, but this time with mid-calf black boots adorned with lots of buckles.
"What happened in here?"
She stood with her feet shoulder-width apart, fists on her hips.
"Someone broke in and tossed the place,"
Jack said.
"I can see that, but why?"
Davies demanded.
"How would I know?"
Lexi asked.
"Maybe you did it yourself to throw suspicion away from you."
Davies' eyes scanned the room.
"Hey, now wait a minute."
Jack stepped toward Davies.
"Lexi wouldn't do something like that. And besides, she's not guilty of anything."
Davies held her hand up.
"Just covering all the angles."
She crossed to the kitchen and looked in.
"Is the whole house like this?"
"Yep, even upstairs," Lexi said.
"Is anything missing?"
"Not that I can tell. I don't really have anything worth stealing, except maybe these vases and some china in the china cabinet, but it's all still here." Davies blew out a small bubble of pink gum, then sucked it back in again.
"Do you have any enemies, or know anyone who would want to toss the place?"
Lexi shook her head.
"No."
Davies took out her cell phone.
I'm going to take some pictures. You'll have to go through everything thoroughly and let me know if anything is missing. If they didn't break in to steal stuff, then they must have been looking for something. Do you have any idea what that might be?
Lexi's stomach sank. What would anyone be looking for in her house?
I have no idea. Do you think this could be related to the murders?
Davies lowered the camera and stared at Lexi.
I thought you had nothing to do with that, other than finding the bodies.
I didn't, Lexi said. But maybe whoever killed Philippe was looking for something and they think I have it, or that I know something. Wasn't Chez Philippe broken into after the murders? Maybe they got my name from the customer files.
Customer files? Davies asked. Yeah, I heard the place was searched, Lexi answered. It was, but not the customer files, the stowing area. All the little lace ribbons and beads were thrown all over the floor. It was a real mess. Much like this place.
Davies spread her arms to indicate the mess on Lexi's floor. Lexi felt her brow wrinkle.
Why would someone search the sewing area?
She didn't have long to ponder as a sharp knock sounded on her front door, which had been sitting wide open all this time. Everyone spun around to see her neighbor, Mr. Johnston, standing in the doorway looking at her living room in dismay.
Hi, Mr. Johnston.
Lexi crossed over to the elderly man.
Lexi, what's happened here? Are you all right?
He asked. Yes, everyone is fine. Lexi patted his arm. Someone broke in.
Oh, I saw the flashing lights from my house.
He gestured toward the house across the street.
And I came over to see if you needed any help.
Oh, no, we're fine, Lexi said.
Okay, then. Let me know if you need anything.
He turned to leave.
Wait a minute,
Davies called after him, and Johnston turned back around. You didn't, by any chance, happen to see anything strange going on here today? Mr. Johnston puckered his face.
Well, I don't spend the whole day spying on my neighbors, but I did see the big rig out there pull out in the morning. Of course, Lexi was gone to work early in the day, and then, in the afternoon, a red Toyota was here for a while.
A red Toyota?
Davies perked up.
Did you get the plates?
Mr. Johnston rubbed his hands nervously.
Plates? Well, no, I didn't realize I would have to do that. Do you think that's the person who did this?
Possibly. Davies said. Do you remember how long the car was here?
I'm not sure. I was watching my shows when I first saw it, and then I had my afternoon tea. Next time I looked, it was gone, so maybe an hour or two?
Okay. Thanks.
Davies pecked away at the keys of her smartphone. Lexi assumed that was her version of taking notes.
You don't think it's dangerous around here now, do you?
Mr. Johnston lingered in the doorway.
No, not at all, Davies said. This is an isolated case. You have nothing to worry about.
Johnston nodded, looked at Lexi uncertainly, and then shuffled off across the street.
Well, that's an odd coincidence, Lexi said.
What's that?
Jack asked as Davies resumed her picture-taking. Stuart Wiggins' neighbor told us that Veronica drove a red Toyota Corolla, but she's dead, so either someone used her car to break in here, or that's one heck of a coincidence.
Davies scrunched her face up at Lexi. Who told you that?
The fiancé's neighbor. He saw her peel out in it after they had a fight.
Well, that's strange. We towed Veronica's car from Chez Philippe to the station to search it for evidence. We have it there right now. But it's not a red Toyota. It's a black Prius.